This week's message is on perseverance. Much like other brothers have said, when I received the topics for my set of three messages, I said, Lord, you're going to have to teach me so that I can teach others. So in some part, I take full blame for 2020 and all the lessons of perseverance that were being taught. I guess I shouldn't have prayed so hard. Only joking, but yeah, I mean, I think it's somewhat easy to teach this lesson of perseverance, as we go through this year, because, well, as we'll see, of just the need to persevere, in the struggles that we have. Before we dive in, let's take a minute and just go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask that today you would be speaking to our hearts, that you would be teaching us and reaching us with the truth of who you are and what you are and what you would desire of us. Lord, I pray that you would be the one teaching today, that your Spirit would be softening hearts, would be provoking hearts, would be taking your living words and applying them like the surgeon's scalpel to our innermost need and to the area that we need to hear them. And so, Lord, I pray that you would convict us and soften our hearts, and that we would not have hearts of stone but hearts of flesh, which only your miraculous grace can accomplish. We thank you for the opportunity to again open your word and to be in your presence and to hear from you. Let none of us go from this time and not realize that we've been with you. But Lord, may your power and presence be evident, even in this this strange time of assembling in a different way. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for all that you've given us and all that you've done. We thank you again for the opportunity to acknowledge you and to set aside our own understandings in order to trust in you. We praise you. We thank you for who you are, and we lift your name. We praise you for your Son. It's in his name that we pray, and we come before you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So, first of all, just a procedural request. Instead of actually typing out my own takeaways and applications on my final slide like I would normally do, I thought it would be an interesting opportunity if you all could glean a takeaway from the word that's presented, that the Spirit is touching your heart, a short note of application or doctrine that the Spirit wants you to meditate on as you leave from here. In all practicality, it's very difficult to soak in an entire 95-minute message. I'm just kidding. It's not going to be that long. But an entire message, all the things that are said, it's impossible to soak everything in. So in fact, it's often better if we just pull one or two things, that the Lord is really touching our hearts on. And to be fair and to be honest, if it has nothing to do with anything that I say, but because we read a word, a passage, and the Spirit provokes you to think something about that passage, I would gladly hear that one as well. Because chances are that means the Spirit is teaching, and it's not my trivial words. So then at the end of the presentation or at the end of the message, I have reserved some time, for us to share some of those thoughts. If we want to type them in the group chat, if you're on Zoom, or if you want to open your mic up and share at the end, that would be great. Because we didn't let everyone know that this was going to happen. I fully understand if no one takes an opportunity to do this. And I'll gather some of my own thoughts and some of the things that the Lord's been teaching me as I have looked through these passages. So with that, we are going to look at some of the biblical uses of perseverance or persevere. And specifically, well, as it turns out, there aren't any uses of perseverance in the Old Testament. And so we'll be looking at some Greek words and how the Bible uses those Greek words. The first one is proskartheresis, which means persistency or perseverance. There's only one use of this word. However, if you are reading the King James Bible, it is the only use of perseverance in the entire Bible, which was surprising to me. I thought perseverance was a really common theme, and it is. But the word itself is not used in some of our English translations. This word comes from proskartereo, which is to be earnest toward, or to be constantly diligent, or to attend all the exercises of something, or to adhere closely to. It has that continuance, waiting on someone. And it has 10 uses in the Bible, most often translated as continue. So perseverance has continued, persistent continuance, right? Keeping doing things and persisting in it. Another word that is translated as perseverance in the New American Standard is hupomone. And there's 32 uses of this word. And it could mean patience or enduring or patient continuance or patient waiting. In the King James, this word is most often translated patience. But in the NASB and some of the other translations, the word perseverance is chosen. And specifically in the New American Standard, every other instance of the NASB 20 times, except for Ephesians 6:18, is this word for perseverance. So other uses of this Greek word would be endurance or steadfastness. So we're going to look at some of those synonyms, as obviously the translators could have translated it that way and chose to translate it perseverance. And then finally, epimeno, which means to stay over or remain, and then in a figurative sense, to persevere. This has one use, the only use of persevere in the New American Standard Bible, and it's in 1 Timothy 6:18. Other uses of this word are to persist, to stay, continue, to remain, and it has that definition of abide or continue or tarry. So we're going to think about the words that are here, the thoughts of perseverance in the Bible and abiding and continuing and steadfastness and endurance. And we're going to look at four different flavors of perseverance and ways that I've considered this word could be applied. And so the first one, a Merriam-Webster definition of perseverance is continued effort to do or achieve something despite difficulties, failure, or opposition. And I'm going to keep on the opposition here. And to think about perseverance in the face of opposition. And so that's why the soldier was there. And indeed, our first use of perseverance, or perhaps our only use, depending on our translation, is in Ephesians 6:18, which directly follows our discussion of the armor of God. So we read in Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So in this passage, we have the use of the word perseverance. And interestingly, if you take the only use of perseverance in the King James Bible, then you would actually go back to Mark's message last week and you would talk about prayerfulness, because the context of that verse is to remain consistent and continue in prayer. And after all of this discussion of the armor of God and the resistance of what we do to the enemies, the unseen enemies, the overarching repetition is that we pray, and that in fact we often list all of the armor of God and we kind of cut it off right there. But Paul says right after to pray, right? He keeps saying it, and then he says to persevere in it. Because it doesn't matter how much I assemble faith, or I assemble righteousness, or I assemble these concepts and try to wield them on my own, if I don't have the power of God, and if I'm not praying and I'm not perseverant in it, then I'm not going to be able to use them. However, in this passage, we also see those words that are slightly highlighted in the passage, the stand firm three times, the resist in verse 13. And so here in these verses, we also have this concept of opposition, right? Of continuing in the face of opposition, and specifically of putting on the armor of God, of having the knowledge of truth around our core, of having the habits of righteousness covering our chest, the helmet of salvation containing our minds so that we understand where we stand in salvation, our feet prepared to share peace and to share the gospel with those around us, and then the shield of faith of putting our trust in God and relying on Him in order to quench the attacks of the enemy, and then the sword of the Spirit, with which we can go on the offensive. We can use that powerful sword, the powerful Word of God, in order to see the power of God affect someone else's life. And so perseverance is used in the context of being wary of our enemies and of praying for his help in warring against those enemies. And of course we typically identify those enemies as the world, the flesh, and the devil. But here I actually just happened to be talking about the mighty men of God, or the mighty men of David, and then applying that to being a mighty man of God to the camp that I was at not too long ago. And there, instead of the flesh, I said, you are the enemy, right? The natural nature that you have is the enemy. It's your flesh. And so often when you're alone, when no one's around you, is the time when the struggle is the hardest. And there's a war. We need to be aware of that war. We need to be persistent and perseverant in continuing to resist and oppose the war that is trying to take us down. However, we are called to overcome. And what a beautiful and a wonderful thought is that, as we're going to see, the Lord wants us to overcome and has enabled us to overcome. In John 16:33, it says Jesus overcomes the world. It says he already has done it. Like the enemy's already beaten. What we need to do is align with the one who has already overcome. In 1 John 5:4, it says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And so if we apply John 3:16 and we've seen in our life that we are born again, that God has implanted in us a new life, a new spiritual life that grows, we are destined to be overcomers. And then in Romans 12:21, we're told, don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So again, this thought of persevering and resisting and applying, instead of allowing evil to overtake us, that we in being perseverant in goodness would overcome evil. And then 1 John 2:13 and 4:4, again, it promises this idea that we will be, or we are, overcomers because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so with God on our side, with us on God's side, as we follow him and as we do what he does and walk with him, then we have nothing to fear, and we should be persevering. We should be waging this war. So may we not give up in this fight for holiness, for piercing the world with the word, and in resisting the devil and his schemes. Well, the second flavor of perseverance that I wanted to look at is this, another definition, persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. And so here, the picture that I've chosen is a man who's running up a hill. I've heard that people do this. Someday I want to try. But it's that struggle. It's that working through something and getting past something and surmounting some difficulty or trial. And so in Romans 5, we read, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so perseverance is that attitude of facing a tribulation, facing a hardship, facing in something that is difficult, and pushing through it and getting over it and getting past it. Not necessarily something that sets itself up against you, but just pushing through the difficulty of a task. And again, perseverance has this timely aspect of we started it once and we continue it until it's finished. And as we contemplate the perseverance that we are looking toward through tribulation and through difficulty, the Lord brought the seven churches of Revelation to mind. And indeed, we see perseverance mentioned, or overcoming mentioned, in each of the passages to, or each of the letters to the seven churches. In the first, we've got Philadelphia, which is commended for keeping the word of his Persophia, doesn't have anything written bad about them. They're staying on track and they're doing the right thing. And so they're commended for this perseverance, because it's not easy. It's not an easy thing to remain a solid, functioning, God honoring, God, Jesus illuminating church, right? And then even individually to continue in the struggles of this world. And then Smyrna, again, nothing bad said about them, other than the fact that their trials and tribulations were a lot harder than Philadelphia's. And so they felt weak and they felt poor and they felt like they weren't going to make it. And so Jesus reiterated, hey, you're going to make it through this trial. You will overcome. And so he calls them to persevere. In this next group of churches, we have churches that were commended for perseverance. But here's a reminder that perseverance itself is not enough. Ephesus was commended for perseverance, but it had lost its first love, right? Thyatira was commended for perseverance, but it was rebuked for a lost holiness. They had allowed immorality into their midst. And even though they were persevering and doing the things, and in being a presence, they weren't the essence of what God wanted them to. And so this is a concern for us. It's something to think about, in that perseverance doesn't just mean doing church consistently, right? It doesn't just mean that I have this habitual pattern of living like God, like the world expects me to as a Christian. In fact, that's not really perseverance at all, because what I just said was the world has decided what I look like as a Christian. And far too often, that's what we do. Far too often, it doesn't feel like church if you're not sitting there at a certain hour and someone's not standing up in front of us and talking. But is that really what God wants us to do as a church? Is that really what God wants us to do in growing and becoming a part of who he is? In fact, have you ever read the passage where an apostle stood up and preached for 45 minutes and then sat down and we had a song and then we left? Well, I don't think you have. I haven't. I don't think it's in there. And so why do we stick to some things that seem like they're so important and we have to have them, if indeed they're just traditions of men? So let's not be like Ephesus and Thyatira, who were coldly persevering, right? Rotely, and deadly. That didn't sound right, but in deadness, they were persevering and they were keeping going. And then we get to the churches who are called to overcome through something. Pergamum is called to come overcome through improper doctrine and immorality. Sardis is called a remnant or called to overcome in spite of a rampant deadness in the church. The church is dead, but there's a few, the Lord Jesus says, that can overcome, that can remain. And so he calls them. And then lastly and sadly is the church of Laodicea, which is called to overcome in spite of the fact that Christ is outside the church and he wants to be let in, right? In spite of the fact that he's knocking on the door and saying, would someone let me into church? And so in all of these depictions of the churches, we have this idea of overcoming or continuing through trials and difficulties and struggles and either a commendation for it or a call to it. So we said one of the other synonyms that's used a lot is steadfast or enduring or patient. And some definitions of steadfast are resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering and firmly fixed in place and not subject to change. And here I've pulled a couple of pictures from my friend Google's page. And one of them is this winnowing action in the top left, the idea of tossing some grain up in the air so that the wind can catch the light parts that are not important and blow them away, and so that things of substance would fall. And in the Bible, we read about this, right? The wheat and the chaff being the things that blow away, the wheat being the things that fall. Again, below is a picture of some process similar to smelting of metals, where you heat the metals up so much that the impurities start to separate. Perhaps you even aggravate the metals with some other chemical in order to make the impurities separate and then the real metal to fall to the bottom. The idea being that some imposed environment causes the worthwhile thing to remain and to be steadfast and to persevere while the frivolous thing blows away. And so, if I was to tell you that 2020 is a winnowing upheaval of our lives, then the answer that we would need to figure out is what is the wheat that's going to fall back down and what is the chaff that's going to blow away? Furthermore, am I going to hold on to the chaff and get blown away with it? Or am I going to be more concerned with identifying the wheat, the important things that God has? Am I going to use this time to identify the substance? Sadly, in many churches, I think what we're also seeing, is the possibility that there's chaff in the church. People that didn't really want to be there. And so perhaps they're finding whatever excuse possible to allow themselves to be blown away out of the church, and they don't really want to be a part. And what a sad state of the church, and what a sad state of reality. So with this in mind, the thoughts of perseverance would be along the lines of James 1. Consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. remember when we read in Romans 8, that the perseverance brings about proven character, right? That the idea is that as you persevere through something, there's a proof of character. All the other stuff went away, and if you make it through, then it's as a result, you understand the characteristics that are there. And so we can consider and persevere through a trial with this in mind, with perseverance as refinement in mind. Perhaps we could look at Jeremiah 29. I'm not going to turn there. I'm not going to read it. But if you look there in Jeremiah 29, everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope, or something along those lines. And I apologize if I misquoted. But the context of Jeremiah 29:10-14 is, hey, you're going to go to Babylon for 7 years. I know the plans I have for you. You're going to build houses there. You're going to live there. It's going to be your home, but it's not going to be Jerusalem. It's not going to be what you like to do. It's not going to be a Hebrew religion. I'm going to put you through this difficult trial. It's one that you have, garned for yourself, because this trial is what you deserve because of what you've done in all these years. This is what God is saying to the Israelites in Jeremiah. But he says at the end of that, you will seek me with your whole heart and you will find me, and then you will prosper and not be harmed. And so there's a process that a lot of us want to skip over in Jeremiah 29:11. We just want to skip to the plans to prosper us. We don't want to go through the trial that brings us to the point that we fall on our knees and we seek God with our whole heart and we find him so that we can prosper. In Matthew 3, John the Baptist is preaching and he says that Jesus was coming with a winnowing fork in his hand to separate the wheat from the chaff. In Zechariah 13:9, it talks about two-thirds are going to fall away, and a third part will be brought through the fire to refine as silver is refined and test as gold is tested. And I bring these in because of the pictures of the winnowing and of the refining, not because the context of these verses necessarily is applied to us, but just to give the idea of the substance of something persevering through trial. And so then in 1 Corinthians 3:11-13, again, the idea that we build in the church, everyone builds in the church, and you can build with whatever you're willing to build with. But if you build with gold, silver, and precious stones, well, then it's going to last. But if you build with wood, hay, or straw, then it's going to get burned up when the Lord Jesus judges and purifies the church through fire and determines if the work that we've done is worthwhile. And so our work needs to be persevering. But again, the idea being that I think we should all at this point in our lives be asking, God, why did you send 2020 to me? Why is my life going through COVID? Why is my life going through the tribalism of this world? Why is my life going through a scathing and divisive political arena? What am I supposed to learn? How am I supposed to grow? What is the chaff that you want to blow away? What is the impurity that you want to melt away? And Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the upheaval, so that the chaff can be identified and the wheat can remain. I thank you for the fire, so that the impurities can burn away and the metal remain. Lord, help me to persevere and to find the reality and to find the truth and to find the importance that's on the other end of this trial, that's on the other side of this upheaval. And so, perseverance may entail refinement through trial. And so then we go to the word persevere, and there we saw abide and tarry and wait on and to remain. And here in this dictionary definition is the idea of persisting in a state or enterprise or undertaking in spite of counter influences, opposition, or discouragement. And I just wanted to key in on this idea of remaining and of staying, because to me it brings to mind many of the concerns that we are focusing on, that we are called to focus on. So the specifically, we remember we talked about this verb showing up in 1 Timothy. And 1 Timothy 4:16 says, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. And these are Paul's instructions to Timothy. And he's saying, you know, stay, continue in the things that you're teaching and in the things that you're taught. Don't waver. Don't allow yourself to diverge or to be carried away with any wind of doctrine. But then again, the best example of abiding or of remaining is here in John 15, where Jesus says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. And so there's this aspect of perseverance that is like a tree perseveres in the place where it's planted. It stays rooted there. It remains there. It grows there through the seasons and it doesn't change. And it persists in that state. And this is exactly what we're called to as Christians, is to be a vine that is growing out of, or sorry, to be a branch that is growing out of the vine. To have the nature of the vine, to have the sustenance of the vine, to remain attached to the vine, and to bear the fruit that the vine tells you to bear. That's our job, is to remain connected and to be a conduit of growth and of life and of fruit. To stay attached. Now, it's revealing, isn't it, when you think about this, how branches don't take vacations, right? They don't jump off the vine, go hang out with their friends for a bit, come back and graft themselves back into the vine. It's not how it works. If you cut a branch off the vine, you got to work hard to put it back in pretty quickly, or it's going to be trouble. So we are called to remain, to stay attached, to have the completeness of our life surrounded by Christ and who he is. I abide in Moncure, in North Carolina. I go to the grocery store. I go home. But I abide, I remain in this area. The context of everything that I do is in North Carolina. And so I think that's the definition that keeps for me is where am I planting myself? Where am I staying? What is the context of everything else that I have to do? Is all of my life sacredly given to the Lord Jesus and in the context of him? Well, that brings us to the takeaway slide. So if you have anything to share, I'm going to mute my mic in just a minute. I was going to keep the presentation up, but then I pressed the wrong button. I'll keep the presentation up and add some of your thoughts, and I'd love to hear what the Lord is showing you.
So you're opening for sharing, brother?
Yes, that was the intent.
Okay, thank you very much. Really appreciated, because this topic is very, very apt for us at this time. So I was thinking, as you mentioned, application. So perseverance as an employee, what is the application? Because we have been working from home for past 3-4 months and slowly getting into that mode of discouragement. Okay. And also as a father, what are the areas I have to persevere? And as a student and as a human being, how I can make myself persevere at this time? In relationships, for example, in fellowship. So in this context, I was thinking about Hebrews chapter 12. The word that is there used is endurance in ESV. But I'll just read it and I'll let others share Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 onwards. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And it says, for the joy that is set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is seated at the right hand. So my key point is, maybe others can also chime in. How do we really persevere in these times? What is the anchor? Yeah, I understand scripture, but it's like throwing the towel, right? We get discouraged easily. And I hear many of my friends, they go into depression. So it's a form of not persevering. So those are the thoughts I've been thinking when you shared. Very, very apt and timely topic. Thank you very much.
Hey, this is Jit. Thank you so much for a great teaching today. And I echo what Brother Morley is talking about, that the perseverance comes in many practical aspects of the life, because we play many roles, right? We are a spouse, for those who are men or fathers or moms or mothers. And then we have, you know, we're an employee, and then, we are, leaders, or we are, you know, disciples to others, and so many other things. And really, John 15 is great when Morley asked the question about how do we persevere. And when Jesus says himself that no, you know, you read it, but verse 4, particularly, no branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. So it's not just divine, but in divine for the divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, because it is really my only way that I've ever found to persevere is really to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, because it's really looking to Jesus for everything. It's really, you know, gleaning off his power. I don't think that even after many years of Lord maturing me through my problems in certain areas and exposing other areas and, you know, refining that metal, that I always find myself, because the fact that, you know, there could be an emotions, there could be a particular offense that I really haven't gotten over. It could be
just something in life, you know, just the whole host of things, you know, the individual effects of things happening in my life, plus the corporate effects, what COVID's done to everybody, plus, you know, all this kind of meshing at the same time, that I've got to think, okay, well, Jesus, you know, he looked at the joy that was set before him, right? And that's how he persevered. You know, Jesus did not talk back, you know, when he was falsely accused. And so just really, I think that for me, remaining in the divine, in the vine, is really the only way that I know of persevering. And that comes with continued fellowship with the Lord. I mean, fellowship is, you know, every day reaching out to him in prayer, meditation, reading his word. I mean, reading some of the same verses that I've read before, but the Holy Spirit just puts it in the context of fellowship, the appropriate counsel of godly men, and you know the encouragement, like in this group, and all of that together just keeps me into that vine, that keeps that branch attached to that vine, because the devil comes with his chainsaw and he wants to cut it off. There's so many reasons that he's trying to cut it off, and especially in 2020 when everything just seems to be so not only individually tough, but, you know, just for the whole world, it just all adds on. So I just wanted to share that. I appreciate your talk today.
Michael, you there?
Yeah.
So I just want to add and then get your thought on something. I think a big thing that Murali and Jit added was for us in avoiding discouragement for us and our family, especially me as the leader of my home, is to have, and Brother Murali and I were talking about this yesterday, of having discipline in our faith, discipline in our family life to avoid discouragement and distraction, but to continue to persevere in the things that we know that we have remained in, meaning in the Word, family devotions, being before the Lord in prayer. I think those are key things, especially as we're somewhat isolated in these times, to remain and to persevere through these tough times. You think about, you know, if there was persecution, it's important to stay close to the Lord and to remain in the things that we know. So I just wanted to add that. But I wanted to ask Michael if you could share some thoughts in regards to perseverance in God's will. You know, I find in our very Western technology-rich culture, people always want to change or turn the page, go to the next chapter. And it's a very transient culture, very moving culture from city to city. If you're not in the season of college years or study years, people just change, especially when you think about believers. I wonder if sometimes they don't consider God's will in placing them where they are for a reason. What do you think, Michael, in regards to this thought of perseverance in God's will for where he has placed you, and not following the culture of, okay, I just got to have a change of view?
Sure. I think to a lot of extents, that's one of the things, I mean, that's the essence of perseverance is not allowing ourselves to just change for the sake of change, to not allow ourselves to be distracted from the essence and the truth. Like everything in the Christian life, it's one of those pendulum balances that we have to endure, right? I might hold on to something because I've always done it that way, but that doesn't mean that God told me to do it that way. Or even that, God is still telling me to do it that way. In one of the stories of David's early conquests, there's a story where the Philistines come and set themselves up against Israel, and David goes to God and prays and says, should I fight them? And God says, yes, go and fight them. And so David does, and he wins, and he wins a great victory. And then the next time that the Philistines come, it sounds like they do the exact same thing. They set up in the same valley. They set up in the same way. Everything seems the same. And so my natural inclination would be, hey, you know, they did this last time, and we won because we went up. So let's follow the plan that we had before, and let's go for it. But David doesn't. He goes to God and he says, God, should I go up? And God says, no, don't go up against the Philistines. Go around them, circle them around and wait for me, and I will win the victory for you. And so David does. And again, he wins a victory because he followed God's direction, because he asked and sought God's direction. It's a difficult balance because, number one, you need to remain connected to God. But number two, you don't need to substitute remaining connected to God with remaining connected to whatever the established traditions are. And so I was reading this morning in the last chapter of Exodus that the tabernacle got set up and the cloud came and filled the tabernacle. And it says the cloud was there by day and the pillar of fire by night. As long as the cloud remained, they would stay. If the cloud got up and moved, they would move. And so I think the challenge of perseverance is understanding, what are we persevering in? And by all means, we are persevering in God, persevering in abiding in Christ. And so we need to learn to be sensitive to his voice and to hear him and to know what he's doing in order to move forward. Moses says, if you don't go up, then don't let us move. We don't want to go up either. If you're not with us, then why would we go anywhere? And then Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. We in order to be perseverant and abiding in Christ, we need to learn to listen to where he is and to learn to not trust our own understanding, right? Trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. And so perseverance is remaining and staying in where he is saying to go and where he is speaking and following him. And so first of all, it's learning to understand where we are supposed to root and what it is that we are rooting in. And sometimes it takes a difficult season to show us whether we're rooted in something good or whether we're rooted at all. In order to have some of these difficulties removed from us and to find what the value is and what the import is that God is showing us. We need to be aware of that, though. We need to be focusing on, okay, God, I don't want to just make it through this. I don't like the idea that a lot of us are thinking about when will things return to normal, because I think that means to some extent that we think it was good enough the way it was, but this is a good opportunity for God to say, hey, something needs to change. But may we be connected to him and may we be listening to him in each of those situations, not changing for change's sake, but not holding on to tradition because it's comfortable. Certainly practicing discipline and finding the things that the Lord is calling us to do, and invoking those things in our life. And as I speak these words, I hear the Lord speaking to me through me, because how much do I need to hear these things? Okay. Any other quick thoughts? Our time is pretty far.
Yeah, Michael, this is just Jit. One thing just to came to my mind when you were talking, that's wonderful. I think that the perseverance, no doubt, we persevere through our sufferings, particularly if, you know, there are things brought upon us as we're following the Lord, but through the sufferings. But I think really the mindset of persevering in obedience, persevering in love, like in terms of, you know, sometimes we think, God, I'm going to persevere, take away the suffering, let me get through the suffering. Which, you know, I mean, God wants to see us through a lot of our sufferings. Some things are just prolonged because of his divine reasons. But rather than having that mindset, but have more of the direct mindset that let's persevere in holiness, let's persevere in obedience, let's persevere in love, and then let the circumstances that are around that take care of itself because we know God is faithful.
Thank you, Jit. I'm going to give last thought to Jamie here. Jamie has a thought.
Well, it's only just a quick scripture. I'm going to read over Hosea 5:14 all the way through 6:3. Starting off on 14, "For I will be like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. I will tear and go away. I will carry off and no one shall rescue. I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their guilt and seek my face, and in their distress earnestly seek me. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will bind us up. After 2 days he will revive us, and the third day he will raise us up that we may live before him." That is Hosea 5:14 through 6:2. Out of just my own personal experience over the past few weeks, I guess probably the best way to put it is I've not been full on doing the things that I need to do, you know, reading the Bible like I should, struggling to keep in the Word just because, you know, I'm a single college student alone, that kind of stuff. But, I mean, this really stuck out to me because there are a lot of things, you know, in my personal life that I'm dealing with. And I guess God brings the proper wording at the right time, I guess.
Great. Thank you, Jamie. Thank you, Michael. I think these are very appropriate words for our time in the season that we're in. And we really do need to look at what God is doing through this all in our lives, and us personally, as well as in our family lives and as our body. So I'd like to, yeah. Oh, sorry. There was one chat comment from the Navaris. "To your point of the wind separating the wheat from the chaff, and we will hang on to the chaff and be blown away. Great point. Matthew 7:24-25, "House built on the rock, the rain, the winds, and floods will come. These outside forces help us discern the substance from the chaff." Oh, very good point. Thank you. All right, let's close. We're going to just sing one song, one stanza of a song. Hymn number 284, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." We really need from this message to really consider this as we leave, and to, if we are weary, if we are broken, to really turn to the Lord at this time. So let's sing the first stanza of this hymn. Father, we just praise you and thank you for this time together. Lord, thank you for these precious words that our brother Michael has shared. Lord, may we consider these, Lord, as we drive home and as we discuss these points with our families, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would challenge us to re-examine, to know where we are with you, Lord, and to understand where we need to be and if we truly are abiding in you as the vine, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for these words, and may your name be glorified. In your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ, amen.